Thank you, Anne and Todd. That was beautiful. If you would, go ahead and open up your Bibles to 1 John. I'm going to be looking at chapter 1, verses 1 to 7 this morning. This will be week 2 of the series through the book of 1 John. We'll eventually make our way all the way through it. There's good stuff in there that John has for us, that God has for us through John. Last night, my family came home after dark. Now, I had the lights on the back porch. Why do I have the lights on the back porch? Because that's how we get in the house, and it's a lot safer to come in the house with the porch lights on than to try to come up the back steps without them. So you come in the house, and I don't know what your family is like, but my family comes in, and pretty much every light in the whole house gets turned on. Why is that? Well, because it's easier to see going through the house with the lights on, is it not? You want to see where you're going, you want to see where you're going to put your stuff, and all that kind of stuff. And so when we come home, we want to see, so we turn the lights on. Now imagine with me that instead of me coming to my house, that a burglar, a thief comes into my house. Well, what does he do? Well, he's not going to turn on the lights, is he? He's probably going to come in with a flashlight so that he can sneak through the house because he does not want to be seen. Well, why does he not want to be seen? Well, he doesn't want to be seen because the reason that he's there is not for good, it's for bad, right? The thief comes to steal, to take what isn't his. And so he wants to be in the dark so that what he's done can be concealed. Because what he's doing is sinning, right? The Bible talks about not stealing. Well, John this morning is going to talk about the idea of light and darkness. The idea of walking in darkness and the idea of walking in the light. And he's going to relate that to our fellowship with God. And so let's look at what John says this morning in verse chapter 5. He says this: "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins." If you bow with me in prayer. Dear Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would teach us and instruct us this morning. Lord, open our eyes to see, open our ears to hear your truth. Lord, I pray that you would guide my words this morning, Lord, that my words could be in line with your truth. Lord, help us to understand and apply your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So the first point of your outline says God is light. Well, there's a lot of philosophical ideas in that, but what is that communicating? Well, it's communicating that perhaps lots of things. Light is the source of life, is it not? If you plant a plant, the plant is always going to seek out the light. You can do an experiment where you put a little potted plant in the bottom of a maze inside of a cardboard box, and the plant will climb up and it'll work its way around the maze in order to find its way to the light. Because the light is the source of life. Right? The light also shows us what's around us. There's the idea of light being a moral truth, that the light exposes that which is wrong, that which is bad. I don't know about some of you, but I know sometimes I don't like to turn on the lights at night. I prefer to walk through the dark house. I prefer to not turn on everything, because particularly if it's in the middle of the night, I don't want a lot to wake me up. And I figure if I start turning on the lights on, that they're going to wake me up nice and good. And then when I go back to bed, I'm not going to be able to get back to bed very well. But when the lights are off, you know, I found that often things that I did not expect to be on the floor are on the floor. And because the lights are off, I don't see them, or I might kick them. And when I step on things that shouldn't be there, or I kick things that are in the way, you know what? I'm not a happy camper. And that probably wakes me up more than the lights ever would have. The light exposes that which is wrong, exposes that which is in the way. The Bible says that, the psalmist says, your word is a light unto my feet, right? The idea that it shows us the path. So John says that the message that he is communicating to us is that God is light. God is the source of light. God is perfectly moral. God is righteous. Everything that God does is right. And in him there is no darkness. Now, I tried to do a little bit of research here, and my mind could not fully wrap itself around all of the science that's involved in it. But my understanding, even from scientists, is that darkness is not an entity to itself. Darkness is the lack of light. All right, so we have a standard of light, and then we can measure other things based on that standard of light. But you don't measure things on their degree of darkness. It's just a matter of how much light is missing. Right? And so doesn't that kind of relate to John's illustration? God is light, but in him there is no darkness. God is that perfect standard, and it's when we move away from God that we end up moving into darkness. So John explains to us that God is this perfect standard of truth, of righteousness, of holiness, of being completely other and separate from us, that God is this source of light. That in God there is no hint of darkness. There is no hint of immorality. There's no hint of sin. So we understand where the perfection is. You know, I was driving up the road yesterday, and you know, they post the speed limit for you. And the intention is that you drive that speed limit. That is the standard. So when it says 60 miles an hour, the intention is that you drive 60 miles an hour. But you know what I sometimes find myself doing? I sometimes find myself gauging myself against other people. So I want to keep up with the traffic, okay? And so that's my rationale. I can go a little bit faster because the traffic is going a little bit faster, and I don't want to be an obstruction to other people. But you know what? If the policeman pulls you over, there is a standard. He says the speed limit is 60 miles an hour. And you can say, yeah, but the traffic around me was going faster. But you know what? I don't think the policeman is going to gauge you based on other people. He's going to gauge you based on the standard. So often in our life we say, well, you know, I'm about as good as everybody around me, you know, maybe a little bit better, maybe a little bit worse, but I'm kind of right there. But we're not gauged against other people. God says that any sin, which speeding is, I struggle with that, but it is, I understand. Any sin separates us from God because we fall short of that standard. One of the ideas in the Bible that we translated sin is the idea of falling short of the mark. Okay? So some of you understand when you're going out there and you're having a shooting competition or an archery, that there is a bullseye, and the goal is to get in the middle, in the bullseye. And when you come outside the bullseye, what have you? You have missed the mark. You've fallen short of perfection. Well, that's the idea, that God is that standard. God is light. God is morally perfect. God is righteous. God is the source of life. And in Him there is nothing short of that. All right, so John begins with this idea. This is the message which we have heard from Him, that is from God, and declare to you that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. John begins by setting the standard. The standard is God. Point two in your outline says this: if we want fellowship, we must walk in the light. Well, look at what John says in verse 6. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in light, we have fellowship with one another. All right, so John is setting up a situation. He's saying if we say that we have fellowship with God, all right, now as I'm understanding John, and of course there's a little bit of debate on this, but I think that you can have salvation without fellowship. Now you shouldn't. I've talked to you before about how salvation is that invitation into an intimate relationship with God. But I don't think John specifically is talking here about salvation, but about that fellowship, about that relationship that we should have with God. So we say we have a close, intimate relationship with God. We say that we are united, that we're on the same page, okay? I have fellowship with God. All right? Now, I don't know if I'm saying that to myself or I'm saying that to other people or maybe both. But John says, if you say that you have that close relationship and yet you walk in darkness, now walk is the action of our life, right? We can have lots of thoughts, but walking is when we put it into action. So he's saying we say that we have fellowship with God and yet our actions are consistent not with light but with darkness. What is darkness? Well, there is no darkness in God, but the Bible tells us some things that are dark, all right? Sin is darkness. But it's the idea of rebellion against God. Well, let's look at a couple things that fit in that category of darkness. Certainly not an exhaustive list, but Galatians chapter 5 has a couple things for us. It says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Okay, now there are a lot of things there. He doesn't have everything there, but there are a lot of things, okay? So if you have found yourself envious, you found yourself in that list. Okay, if you have ever put anything before God, you found yourself in that list. If you've caused disruption, you find yourself in that list. All right, now I don't know about you, but I was not always a peacemaker in my family. As the youngest of four, sometimes, believe it or not, I tried to get the older ones in trouble. You know what? That's divisive and it's contentious. And you could probably put a few more things on there that would categorize. Okay? And so what Paul has here is a list of a few things. And he says there in 21, he says, and the like of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, those practicing, that's the idea of walking, practicing such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. I say I have fellowship with God, and yet I practice things that are in rebellion against God. And John says, when I do that, I've lied. I've lied to myself. I've lied to others. All right? So as a child, perhaps a teenager, you understood what the rules were in your household. Your parents probably laid that out for you. So you knew what was expected of you. And you said, yes, father, yes, mother, or whatever word you wanted to use. Yes, I understand and I agree and I will obey. Okay? But then you stay out late past curfew. Then you drive the car over the speed limit when your parents aren't looking. Then maybe you go with your friends and you sneak into a movie that your parents said that they didn't want you to see. Then you go to a party and you engage in some things that your parents would not approve of. Well, you've said you agree, but your actions are rebellious. There's an inconsistency. And so if my children do things that are in rebellion against the rules that I have set forth, they can say that we're in fellowship, but they're lying. Because when my children are in open rebellion against me, if I'm in open rebellion against my parents, I'm not in fellowship. I'm not united. I'm not of the same mind as them. So if you say that you have fellowship with God, which is what you're communicating if you say, I'm a Christian, right? And yet you're involved in an adulterous affair, right? That's walking in darkness. If you're stealing from your boss, that's walking in darkness. If you're involved in fornication, that's walking in darkness. If you're involved in a homosexual lifestyle, that's walking in darkness. If you're addicted to drugs or alcohol, that's walking in darkness. If you don't speak the truth, that's walking in darkness. God calls us into fellowship. He calls us into relationship. But our sin, our walking in darkness, separates us from God. Joel Rosenberg relates sin to the idea of running away from God. Fellowship, I've related that to eating together, to dwelling together. Right? To living together, to getting to know God. Well, if you're running away from God, then you're not dwelling with Him. You're not abiding with Him if you're running away in the opposite direction. So John is writing to his audience and saying, there are some of you in the church that say that you have fellowship with God, and yet you are walking in darkness. You are rebelling against the commands of God. And he says, you're lying to yourself and you're lying to others. And that's part of the problem. Maybe that's the whole problem that the church has in this day and age, is that people look at those who claim to be Christians and yet their life is not consistent with God's word. They look at them and they say, they're no different than the world around me. They're practicing in the same things. They do the same things. I see them at the same parties. I see them involved in the same things. They say they're Christians. They say they have a relationship with God, and yet their life does not demonstrate evidence of it. And it's a problem. So John says, If we say we have fellowship with God and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice. Again, that idea of practice, of walking. We don't practice the truth. A part of who God is God is truth. If we're not practicing the truth, then we're not in fellowship. But if we walk in the light, if we practice obedience, if we practice submission to God, if we say it's not about what I want, but it's about what God wants, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, then we what, have fellowship with, you expect Him to say with God, right? He says we have fellowship with one another. I remember last week we looked at this passage, and John says that I write these things that you may have fellowship with us and with fellowship with God. The two go together. Yeah, if we walk in the light, we're going to have fellowship with God because we're going to be practicing that idea of submission and obedience. We're going to be abiding with Him. We're going to be studying His Word. We're going to be doing what He asks us to do. But when we walk in the light, we also have fellowship with one another. And that's what God calls us to do as the body of Christ, to have fellowship with Him and to have fellowship with one another. Well, how is it that I have fellowship with you? Well, if I want to have fellowship with you, then I need to have fellowship with God. And if we both have fellowship with God, then we're going to have fellowship with one another. But it comes through obedience. Now, the walking in obedience doesn't earn the salvation. We have the salvation, and so we choose to walk in obedience. We have salvation, and so we choose to have fellowship with God. We choose to say, I will do, Father, what you want me to do. Right? That's how a relationship is supposed to work in our family, right? I'm still a child of my parents, but when I was younger, when I was in their house, we had fellowship when I walked in obedience. And when I didn't walk in obedience, the fellowship was broken. Have you ever said or heard something about the nature that as long as you're in my house, you will obey my rules? Right? That was basically probably one of those come to Jesus moments where you've got this situation. Obviously, you weren't obeying the rules because there is the necessary to explain that there is a standard, and as long as you want to abide in that house, then you need to obey that standard. All right? If you knew what was good for you, you came in line. Some people said, well, that's fine. I'll go somewhere else. But you know what happened? It broke the fellowship, right? Now, I can be in rebellion against my parents, and I can still be their child. I don't lose being their child just because I'm rebellious. But the fellowship is a lot better when I'm obedient. If we say we have fellowship with God, and yet we walk in darkness, we lie and don't practice the truth. But if we walk in the light just as He is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another. We've got the recipe for our relationship with God and for a church that's accomplishing His purpose, right? It comes by being in fellowship, of being like-minded. Well, what is that mind? Well, Paul says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, right? Who dwelt in heaven, but did not consider the things of heaven something to be held on to, but laid it aside that he might, what? Be obedient even unto death. God is that standard. God lays out in His Word that standard. God is light and God is life, and as long as we abide in Him, then we are partaking of that life. But when we separate ourselves from God through our disobedience, then we begin to die on the inside, don't we? Because we recognize the broken relationship, and we have a choice of either, when we're running away, to what? To repent and come back, or we keep running away. John lays it out for us there. Paul says this in 2 Corinthians. He says, "Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness?" Paul says that there are opposites. Righteousness and lawlessness don't have fellowship. So if we are being lawless, if we are being disobedient, then we don't have fellowship with righteousness, which is God. And what communion has light with darkness? Right, John lays it out pretty black and white, doesn't he there? We like to murky the waters. We like to gray things out. We like to call things white lies and small sins and other things. God is light, and Him is no darkness. That means in God there is no gray. There is no middle ground. You're either walking in the light, seeking to obey God, or you're walking in darkness. Now, next week, we're going to get into the idea of sin in more detail, but let me, I guess, get a little bit ahead of myself. We have sin, and we have a forgiveness of sins. So though the standard is there, though the Bible tells us that every time we encounter temptation, there's a way out, that we don't have to sin, we still do. Well, that breaks the relationship that we have, but we can always come back. Right? John 8, verse 12 says this, "Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me," what? "Shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." If we follow Jesus, if we are the disciples that we claim to be, then we will walk in the light and not in the darkness. Right? So God is light. If we want fellowship with God and with one another, then we must walk in the light. Point three says that we are cleansed by the blood of Jesus. This is what he says in verse 7. "And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from a few sins? Half your sins? Quarter of your sins? No. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. So we do sin, and next week's passage is going to deal with that in more detail. And so we seek to walk in the light, but if you're like me, you end up in Romans chapter 7, where Paul says, "The things that I want to do, I don't do. And the things I don't want to do, that I find myself doing." Right? So if you're a child of God, then you should want to be in fellowship with Him, which means that you should want to be obedient to Him. But if you're like me, you find yourself sometimes finding that you're sinning. Okay? Try as I might yesterday, that little speedometer, it kept wanting to go above the speed limit. And I kept having to pull it back. But you remember that list from Galatians? I want to be a child of God. I want to walk in fellowship with Him. I want to be obedient, but I find myself envying sometimes. I find myself being prideful. I find myself coveting. I find myself my thoughts going to places I don't want them to go. And so Paul says, "Who can save me from this wretched man that I am? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ." What does John say? That the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. You know, believe it or not, Kim and I sometimes have disagreements. We don't always see eye to eye. And believe it or not, sometimes I say things I shouldn't say, both to my wife and to my children. It affects the relationship. As long as there are words that have not been addressed, as long as there are actions that have not been addressed, the relationship is damaged. I've said things to my children that I shouldn't say. What do I need to do? I need to humble myself and confess my mistakes, right? When we find that we're not walking in the light, then we need to humble ourselves and confess our sins to God. And when we do that, when we confess our sins to God, then the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses our sins. Now, when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God forgave all of your past sins and all of your future sins. So it's my belief, based on the Word of God, that if you die and you have unconfessed sins because you did something in that final moment that you just didn't have time to confess, maybe you're heading into an accident and choice words come out of your mouth and you don't get a chance to repent from them. Or maybe there's something that you did earlier in the day that you just hadn't addressed yet. The blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed you from all sins. You don't have to confess every single one of them before you die in order to get into heaven, because the way you got into heaven was through the blood of Jesus Christ. But your relationship with God is a lot better when you're constantly confessing your sins to Him, and He's constantly cleansing you from those sins with the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not about your salvation, it's about your sanctification. It's about the process of becoming holy. And in our life, that's accomplished through the continual confessing of our sins. As we recognize our shortcomings, then we go and we run to the foot of the cross and we claim the blood of Jesus Christ to cover those sins. And John says that the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, that is God's Son, the Jesus Christ who died on the cross, that His blood cleanses us from every sin. I don't know about you, but those are good words to me. That every sin is cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 9, verse 22 says this: "And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin." If you look at the Old Testament sacrificial system, they shed the blood of an animal, whether it was a bull or a goat or a sheep. But it wasn't simply that the animal died. It was that that blood was used to cleanse from the sin. It was sprinkled on the altar. It was sprinkled on the Holy of Holies, on the mercy seat. The blood was pointing to the blood of Jesus Christ, was cleansing from the sin. Okay? So without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. 1 John 1:29. And the next day, John, that is John the Baptist, saw Jesus coming towards him. What did he say? "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." John recognized who Jesus was, and he used choice words. The reason why he said the Lamb of God is because John was pointing back to the sacrificial system and looking forward to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, where the shedding of His blood would bring the forgiveness of sins. Behold, the Lamb of God. What? The Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. That's my sins. That's your sins. That's all the sins that we committed that are in that list in Galatians and the other ones. Because there's not a single sin that God will not forgive except rejecting the gift of Jesus Christ. Everything else, no matter how heinous we think it is or how small we think it is, it all needs to be covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Isaiah 1:18. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are like crimson red, they shall be as wool. That's the picture of cleansing, isn't it? You get a stain on your clothes, you go home and you pull out the stain fighter, and you spray it on there, and you rub it in, and I do this in my house. I'm like the official stain fighter in my house. Okay, that's my job, amongst other things. If it's got a stain, give it to Daddy. Daddy will try to fix it for you. Daddy's not perfect, but I sure try. All right, and so the hope is that putting the stain fighter on there and throwing it in the washing machine, that when it comes out, that stain is gone. Well, that's the picture Isaiah has. All right? Though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be washed as white as snow. Isn't that beautiful? Because our sins are stains upon our soul. And as odd as it may seem, somehow the blood of Jesus Christ. Because, you know, you get blood on stuff, and that gets stuck. That's a hard stain to fight. But the Bible says that the blood of Jesus Christ is that stain fighter. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us and makes us as white as snow. So what's the point of this passage? What is God trying to communicate to us today? It's the idea of fellowship. God is light. God wants us to be in fellowship with Him. He wants us to walk with Him. He wants us to know Him. He wants us to be obedient. But if we try to claim that we're in fellowship with God and yet we live a life of rebellion, we're lying to ourselves. But God calls us to walk in the light and have our sins forgiven. So I'm going to ask you to look at your heart. Are you practicing sin and you don't care about it? You think it really doesn't matter? Maybe you're taking something that isn't yours. And you figure it really doesn't matter. It's all covered. I can continue to do this and it really doesn't matter. Maybe you're involved in a relationship with somebody that is not your spouse and you figure, well, it doesn't matter. It's covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. I can continue to do this. It's about what I want, right? Isn't that what the world teaches us? It's about you. Make yourself happy. Well, I don't find that anywhere in the Bible. Not a single spot. Maybe you're involved in pornography. Maybe you're going on the internet and you're looking at things that you shouldn't and you figure it's not a big deal. Maybe you're envious of a coworker and you figure it isn't a big deal. I don't know. But each of us has to look in our heart. We have to ask God to search us and see if there is any wicked way in us that moves us out of fellowship with God into the darkness. The Bible says that men love the darkness because they could hide their sins. But but the light of God shines on every last one of us. So if you are here and you would say, yes, you know what? As I'm searching my heart, I'm recognizing that something, there's something that God has called me to repent of, to come back, and I've been holding on to it. I've been harboring it. I've been clinging to it. And today I need to lay it down. Instead of running away from God, I need to repent and I need to run towards God. Maybe you're like the prodigal son who was out there away from his father, but he finally came to himself and said, it's time for me to go back to my father. And the father is going to welcome you back with open arms when you come with a humble heart, confessing your sins, asking for forgiveness. Satan is sneaky. Satan is a liar. Satan came to lie, kill, and destroy. Satan's going to keep trying to convince you that you can walk in darkness and say that you have fellowship with God. But John tells us very clearly we can't have it both ways. We're either walking in the light or we're walking in darkness. If we're walking in the light, we have fellowship with God. If we walk in darkness, we're lying to ourselves and we're out of fellowship with God. But God invites you to come back, ask forgiveness for your sins, and have every sin cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Are you here today and need to confess your sins to God? Maybe you're here today, you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You've been walking in darkness, and your sin has separated you from the God of this universe. But the God of this universe sent his Son to die on the cross to pay the price for your sins, and he would like you today to finally lay all those sins down, all that rebellion down, and come back and know him as your Heavenly Father. If you're here today and I can talk to you about how to know Jesus as your Savior, if you're here today and I can pray with you about your sins, if you're here today and you've got something else going on that you really just need prayer for, I'll be standing down front this morning. I would love to pray with you or talk with you about whatever God is doing in your heart and in your life. If you bow with me in prayer. Dear Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Lord, we thank you that you are holy, that you are righteous. We thank you that you are the source of life and that you invite us into a relationship with you through the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, whatever sins it is that we are struggling with, Lord, I pray that we would confess them to you, Lord. And I pray that we would fight the good fight, Lord, to walk in the light and not to be lured away into the darkness. Father, if there's one here that is walking in darkness, so they claim to be in fellowship with you, Lord, I just pray that you would convict their heart, Lord, that you would press upon them, Lord, until they would humble themselves, until they would recognize their sin and they would come back to you today. And Lord, if there is one here today that has not accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, Lord, I pray that today would be the day of salvation. Today would be the day that they ask, how is it that I can have forgiveness of my sins? How can I know Jesus as my Lord and Savior? How can I know that from this day forward that I will spend eternity with God in heaven and not in hell? I pray that today would be the day that they would come and ask, that they would seek you, Lord, and that they and that you would redeem them through the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you for your love displayed at the cross. I thank you for your promise, Lord, of your presence for those that know you as their Heavenly Father. We thank you for your word and your truth, Lord. May you write it onto our hearts, Lord. May you help us to put it into practice. In Jesus' name. Amen. Our hymn of response this morning is number 571, Trust and Obey. I'll be staying down front if there's anything I can do for you. Hymn number 571, Trust and Obey. Tonight at 5:30, we've got Awana, we've got youth group, we've got English writing. 6 o'clock, we've got our adult Bible study, so I encourage you to come back tonight for our evening activities. All right, and I think that's it. So, Todd, you're going to close that, right? Okay.
Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be here as family in Christ, to fellowship, to worship, to celebrate who you are, Lord, that hear your word. Lord, may we all repent, bow on knees, physically or perhaps symbolically, but bow down to you, Lord, and confess our sins, repent, and be redeemed and be gathered to you, Lord, and to walk in fellowship in the light that you have given, Lord. May we go now and share that light for those who need to hear the message. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen.